throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along on the second round of the high school football playoffs Friday. It's going to be a fun night all across the state of Oklahoma. Semifinal berths at stake for what, 5A, 4A, 3A, and Class C. The quarterfinals for the other class, 2A, A, and B. We'll be at Grove. We'll be leaving. Probably should have already left. We probably ought to be doing this Skinny on Sports road trip right about now. But we're still here. It's a couple of things to clean up before we hit the road to Northeast Oklahoma. Coming up on the show today, the NFL weekend. Some big games around the league. Pretty incredible stat from last night. It's funny how things work out, but it's pretty crazy stat from last night with regards to who was playing on Thursday night and what was going on in the sky. College football weekend, Oklahoma State trying to survive a trap game out at Lubbock so that it sets up an all-important bedlam for them next week. Oklahoma against Iowa State kind of the same way. Big games across the country. You've got Michigan State and Ohio State, Arkansas, Bama. In conference, Baylor at Kansas State. That could either muddy the waters or make everything crystal clear in regards to who will play in the Big 12 title game. Excuse me. Then also Oregon at Utah. And, of course, tonight's games, key games in the playoffs. You got Elk City traveling to Grove. Clinton hosts Bristow. Burns Flat Deal City will play host to Elmore City Pernell. And then we'll kind of some other games that have piqued our interest. Big slate of high school hoops tonight on Paragon TV also. So lots to get to. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be in your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon. Radio stations. You got the Penny News. You got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Both will be in full effect tonight. Then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. Miss the show entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say on particular topics. Find that on KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you do the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe because then you're alerted when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared Atha.
You ready?
No. Not really.
Like not everything's packed or mentally you're not ready.
I still got a bunch of stuff to get done here before we can leave.
I see.
A few things for the game as well, so that the hour between 10 and 11.
Could be a little frantic.
Yeah. It's probably not the best time for meetings or anything like that. I'll be in here doing stuff.
We've always said it. We wish this door had a lock, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Now, it's just little things to clean up. I got a bulk of the work done last night. I left about 6, so I got most everything done. Just a few things to clean up, and then I will be ready to roll at 11, headed to Grove for the Big Elks. I guess we might as well just hit that one first. We got some thoughts from you heard both, and I've listened back, Coach Meadows and also Corey Culver, the quarterback, are going to be the pregame interviews tonight ahead of the game between the Elks and the Ridge Runners. So we kind of get their thoughts, and the feeling around the team. I know when Corey walked in, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon or whatever it was, he's exactly what you would hope your senior quarterback would be, and that's confident.
Right.
It's not cocky. It's just confident. I know that those guys have to be pretty sky high after what happened last week, going to Cushing, winning that game against number 4 in the state, and now they see – more of a familiar matchup, I think, with what Grove brings to the table. It's more what they've seen throughout the year. I think you can compare offensive philosophies from Grove to a Bethany, to a Newcastle, to Chickasha, as far as kind of multiple receivers, but try to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe those teams didn't have the quality of back Emmanuel Crawford's going to bring to the table tonight from Grove, a guy that's rushed for almost 2,400 yards, scored over 40 touchdowns on the ground. He's had an incredible junior season, which is why he's starting to get looks, from the in-state schools, especially Oklahoma State. I know has started to really kind of pay attention to him going into his senior year next year. So, you know, that's going to be different. But I really like where it feels like the Elks are in their own headspace as they board a bus and take off clear across Oklahoma.
Yeah, you're right. There is a fine line between being cocky and being confident. It's a fine line. And that's not – I sensed the confidence in Culver yesterday. There's an aura about him. And that's exactly like you said it. You nailed it. It's exactly what you want out of your senior quarterback because that does, translate down to the other players. So that gives me a lot of hope. I've had a lot of confidence in this game going into it all week long. And talking with him yesterday, it appears that they listen to the show and they understand how you beat Grove. And that slowed down that running back that you mentioned. He's a fantastic running back, and you got to contain him. And you're right, if you're comparing, I didn't think of it like that, comparing like what are we used to seeing as far as offenses. And it is a Newcastle, Bethany-type offense that we've seen year in and year out in this district over the past few years. So that gives me confidence too. I'm looking forward to it. The only thing that worries me is the drive, but they did it last week. I know that pales in comparison to how far they're driving this week. Still, a drive is a drive. I'm sure they'll stop a couple times to stretch their legs out, and I'm sure some of the coaches will need that too. But that's the only thing really that worries me. If they show up and they play their game and stay within themselves, I think the Big Oaks will be okay, and they're going to take the fight to Grove.
Yeah, and you know, what a season to have this trip as far as in preparing for it without even knowing. With the way that the Elks have had to have 6 road trips as opposed to the normal 5.
Right.
One of those going to Guymon, one of those going to Cushing. So, yes, it's not as long, but it's similar. And so I wonder how much those experiences will help with kind of understanding how to relax on that long bus ride, but also keep yourself in the right mental capacity to get ready to go once you get off that bus. You know, yeah. Those are, I think to me, that's the, it's not really a physical thing. I mean, yeah, being on a bus is hard for guys like me and you and, you know, coach and staff and that kind of thing. But for 16 to 18 year old kids, yeah, whatever, they get out but I think it's more of to be able to prepare yourself mentally. And I think for me, at least, I mean, people are different, right? But for me, that wouldn't mean just thinking about the game the whole time, because I'm afraid you'd kind of mentally wear yourself out if you start that process at 10:15 when you don't kick off till 7. You know what I mean? That's a long time.
Yeah.
And so you got to have the ability to relax and just kind of enjoy the experience, while also when it's time, whenever that time is for whoever it is, certain players are different, like I said, but when it's time, you got to be able to turn that thing on mentally as much as physically, because I think you're right. There'll be, you know, stops here and there and time to eat and this and that. And so there will be moving around time, you know, with the way the drive's going to be chopped up for those guys. It's just it's a mental challenge to be able to go that far with what everybody knows is on the line and be able to be ready to go from the jump, because, you know, we talk about this a lot when it comes to the playoffs in basketball, state tournament time. Those games are so short. An 8-minute quarter, man, 2 minutes destroys your season sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, yeah. And that's the way, you know, this game's a little bit longer with the full 48, 12-minute quarters. But at the same time, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of, you know, a turnover here, not, you know, following an assignment, because that's the thing. Defensively, the Elks aren't – we talked about it a lot with Clinton and defending the sweep and defending those running backs. I thought the Elks did a fantastic job for the most part, on that of staying in their spot, not trying to make a play for your buddy and open up a lane that you'd vacated. That's the same thing here. Because if you get yourself out of position and take a false step or two, Crawford's gone.
Yes.
He could score from absolutely anywhere on the field. And so the mental discipline and the physical discipline on defense of doing what you're taught to do throughout the week and doing your job and your job only is going to be the challenge. You know, I think physically the Elks are going to match up. They match up with everybody physically except one team. You know, and that was just one of those nights to me. That was the most baffling thing about that game was how bad they got whipped at the lines. Just didn't see it coming,
it
right?
It was a snowball
effect. Yeah, just didn't see it coming. I'm not overly concerned with that part of it. It's just a matter of bottling up Crawford. And then on offense, just get off to a good start. We talked about it all year long. This isn't necessarily a team that can come that likes to come back or has the capability or the capacity to come back from – you know, a couple scored deficits in the second half. So a good start and kind of control the game. And just a little bit like last week, it's a different animal offensively for Grove than it was Cushing. But in a lot of ways, it's the same idea. The more you have the ball, the less chances Crawford gets.
Absolutely.
You know, the best defense is to keep them off the field.
Exactly. Best defense is your offense to sustain drives. That gives me hope, too, with – you know, and again, I haven't seen a lot of film on Grove other than just the recent games. Like, we watched a lot of the Wagner game and last week's game again for Gibson. But they seem to me, based on their record and their outcome, they give up points. So that tells me that they're either A, giving up big plays, or B, they're giving up, I think because of large scores, they're giving up big plays. It feels like they're giving up big plays. Is that fair to say?
Seen big ones on the ground. Bristow hit a long run on like the second play of the game. and there were some others in some different games. Yeah, they average giving up 22. And in that 22, you have a shutout and a 7-point defensive performance. So in the other 9 games, that's close to 30. They've only given up, let's see, less than 20 three times. Everything else is are in the 20s three times. Everything else is high scoring. And then on the other side for the Elks, their defense has only given up in the 20s three. So, you know, defensively, at least by the numbers, the Elks would seem to have the advantage. Now, how much of that is a function of Elk City's offense, keeping the defense off the field with those long drives and running the football? And how much of that on the other side for Grove is just the fact that they've had to defend a bunch of possessions because they've averaged 47 a game. And so, that you know, they've been a high-flying offense, big plays, obviously, in the ground game with Crawford over 24 or right at 2,400 yards rushing. He's also a huge threat out of the backfield. That might be even more concerning on some of those wheel routes down the sidelines. The Elks have to be disciplined and stick with that guy. On, you know, play action, a lot of times on a play action pass, you kind of forget the running back can go catch one, right?
Right.
You know, and so you take your eyes off of that guy when he doesn't get the ball. Next thing you know, he's sprinting down the sidelines, catching it and going. He had 4 catches, 96 last week with a touchdown. So, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge. I mean, it really, really is defending that guy. And if you can figure out a way to bottle him up just a little bit, man, you got to feel good about the Elks' chances. If you can't, then you're going to have to figure out a way to win a shootout, and that's not necessarily the style that the Big Elks play.
So. Not ideal, but I like the way, going back to what I was saying about Grove's defense, if you almost don't want Elk City – now, listen, I'll take points any way I can get it, but you almost don't want them to hit the big one so you're putting Grove back on the field quick. You want to see a sustained, long, methodical drive. And that's one of my keys to tonight is how do we look up front? Are we going to be able to do what we did against Cushing? And that's just run it right up the gut, you know, with success. And I say a 3-yard, 4-yard run is, is success consistently. I'm okay with giving up a getting 3-4 yards and then getting stymied at the line and then doing it again on third down or you know, for 4 yards. That just tells me this is a process in the game where we're wearing them out up front. And if we can sustain a long drive, it plays into our favor as far as keeping that dynamic player off the field. Sustain the long drive that ends with points. Keep this thing low scoring. I mean, it's almost a mirror image of last week. I get it. It feels like it is. But keep this thing low scoring, long sustained drives. And, that's the key for me is how do we come out fighting?
Yeah, you would think just conventional wisdom with the way the scores have gone that if the winner's in the 20s, the Elks would have a fantastic chance. If it gets up in the 30s or 40s, then maybe that's not a game you want to be in. I don't know. It just each game's a different animal, but that would, for me at least, I would kind of lean that way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I heard this said earlier in the week. If you get 3.5 yards every play, you'll score every time.
Yeah. Do the math. Yes.
He literally will.
Yes.
Three and a half yards every single play, which doesn't seem like a ton, right?
No, and it's not flashy either.
Uh-uh.
But
if you get three and a half a play, you'll score every time.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's not fun. It's boring. It's not flashy, but it's productive.
It's all about the W.
Yep.
That's all that matters. Over in Clinton at the Tornado Bowl, Clinton will host Bristow. Bristow's got a pretty good haul back out here from up there in northeast Oklahoma. Pirates just dominated Broken Bow last week, 55-6. The Red Tornadoes, slow start. I know they weren't as happy with their performance as they had been. I heard Coach Higbee read some stuff about that he was, just kind of a sloppy game. They need to clean things up and play a lot cleaner this week than they did against Hera. But they ended up beating the Panthers 41-14. That's when you know you're pretty good, when 41-14 is kind of like a galley. That's the worst performance we've had in a while. I think this is an interesting battle. I think Bristow's idea is a lot like the Elks, and that is be able to run the ball, sustain possessions, keep the clock moving, and keep Powell and that offense off the field for Clinton. Yeah, it's easier said than done against that stout Clinton defense, but I do think that's the idea for the Pirates. And then with a lot of the misdirection with the flex bone offense that they kind of run, maybe you pop a big one whenever all the attention's to the pitch and you slip the fullback up the middle or something like that. Because it's kind of, when you watch the film on Bristow, I did play in Grove, it's kind of hard to figure out where the football was with the way the quarterback handles it and is really smooth operating that offense.
Kind of like a better version of how Cash would do a lot of
a little
things,
bit. Yeah, it reminds me of Altus.
Yeah.
A few years ago when they were really good, how hard it was to figure out where the football was.
Yeah. Somebody pointed this out to me about Clinton. I didn't notice it, and then when I started going back watching film, it made sense to me. Because we would always, you get into the first quarter, out of the first quarter with Clinton. Like last week, it was, 0-0?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's a barrage of points, da-da-da. Then it's just a full onslaught in that second half. Same thing with the Bethany game and a lot of games that they've won. Someone said, watch how they hit. So they're hitting you hard. They're hitting them hard to the point, I talk about wearing someone out. So watch how they hit. You got the other team coming out of the locker room by the third quarter, and they're sore, and they're like, we got to play another 24 minutes with these guys. And so, defending Bristow, like you said, it's a lot of misdirection, a lot of ground game. Was it the Veer is what they built it around?
Yeah.
You want to call it that? I don't know. But, like I said earlier, it's all just about being, smart between the ears in assignment football and staying in your lanes. And the way Clinton's defense is, it's hard for me to see a team. It's just hard for me to see him, Bristow scoring into the 20s against that defense, especially on the road. This was like a neutral site game. I could probably see it, but hard for me to see that.
Yeah, and
it'll be a tougher test. Than Hera, that's for sure. And Higbee knows what he's saying when he's not satisfied. You got to keep these guys hungry.
Sure. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if and when in the playoffs Clinton kind of gets behind again. It's been forever. Think about how long it's been since they've been behind in a game. Of any length into it. You know what I mean? Heritage Hall, obviously they were behind.
I know somebody scored on them first at one point.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going into the halftime locker room
and being behind.
Or even after the first quarter. You know what I mean? It's been forever.
Yeah.
And so you kind of wonder how they react. Just because it might be a little bit of shock to the system when it hasn't happened in two and a half months. You know, like, whoa, wait a minute, what's happening here? And you know, you hope they don't, you know, press and make a mistake that...
Sure, try to overdo it.
Yeah, just kind of stick with the process. It's going to work. It's just taking longer than normal. Over in Burns Flat, Dills City, Eagles hosting Elmore City Purnell. Burns Flat 8-3. We talked to Coach Schneeberger yesterday. You know, it's funny because I think what he said, we kind of gave him a little hard time about the coach speak, but I think it pertains to each one of these games.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the night, I think whoever rushes the ball better and doesn't turn it over is going to win. That's kind of playoff football, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we call it the cliche talk, the cliches of it, but it's true. I mean, that's it's as simple as that, and that's what the Eagles do good at. You know, they do that stuff good. They got a good coach that's pounding that in their heads. And what did he say? I love the quote he used. When I said, "Well, football's just easy if you put it like that," he said, "Yeah, I tell my guys football's easy, but what do you say?
It's not complicated.
It's not complicated,
but it's not easy.
But it's not easy. Yeah, that's what he said. I love that
something
approach.
To that effect.
Yeah, I love that approach. So tough test for them tonight. The big advantage for them though, it is at home, and that's big. So I expect a full house in Burns Flat, and they're going to ring that bell, I think.
Yeah, simple. It's a simple game, but it's not an easy game or something.
Exactly. Yeah, something
along,
like that.
Something along to that effect.
And what's nice, you know, they were really good last year up until the injury, right, to his brother.
That's right.
And they're really good until that injury. Now that they're like, it feels like we're playing for two seasons.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they kind of had things going, and he mentioned that a little bit without saying it. Like, things kind of got off the tracks a little bit. But, you know, they also – I think the extra year of getting acclimated to the 11-man game while also being more routine, off-season routine, as opposed to the COVID year, you know, in the spring, being able to get the work done into the summertime and everything just going a lot more normal, had him ready to go to a lot better level. And then, yeah, getting his brother back, obviously – is going to help that out as well. So it'll be – I think that's another the one thing I think you're going to have to be physical. All three of these teams, these locals, physicality is going to rule the day in the games. And I think especially true over there at Burns Flat, because that's going to be two physical football teams going at each other. And which one – can they both stand up to each other? You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. Kind of a fist fight on the football field, if you want to kind of think about it like that. What other, if you have another couple of games around the state, regardless of class, any others that you kind of have your eye on a little bit?
I was just let me pop out my list. I was just looking at that this morning, and I mean, regardless of class, obviously we're very tuned into 4A. Let me go back to.
I mean, I think it's hard here. I think it's going to be hard to find
a better
matchup than Wagner Tuttle.
Wagner Tuttle is incredibly intriguing to me. It's at Tuttle. Wagner has the history. Tuttle, I think, has more pressure in this game. You know, they're undefeated, number one. If Wagner can come out, apply that pressure, use that pressure against them, put some, you know, get ahead early, which they've done a lot this year. And everyone says Wagner's down. They're 8-2. That's not down to me. So. It's down for their standards, mm-hmm. but yeah. And Blanchard at Poto. A lot of people like Blanchard in this game. I think you do too.
I don't know. I don't know.
I
don't know anything about Poto. Honestly, I mean, I know they won the title a couple years ago in the finals against Weatherford. That's all I got. They've done it once. I mean, you know, Blanchard. I think Lincoln Smith is one heck of an athlete that can turn the game on any play. I mean, he was the one we talked about it yesterday with Blanchard, you know, not having much success on offense against Tuttle, but he had a 99-yard pick six, and he was the one that ran the kickoff back as well.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, he's got speed to burn for sure. And at any point, you know, and that's the thing I think about a lot of these, the 4A games especially, one big play could make the difference in winning and losing.
Really
good. I think – you know, and everybody's got guys that can make them. You know what I'm saying? That's yep. the and I think the one thing that the Elks have been very, very good at this year defensively is not giving up huge plays. You know, Cushing hit a couple last week, breaking tackles in the secondary. That's been an aberration against the Elks. That hasn't happened much with big chunk plays against mm-hmm. that defense. It just hasn't. And so I think that bodes well for Elk City. It's going to be fun. It's going to be.
You know, we talk Class A. One, I mean, obviously Burns Flat we'll keep our eye on, but Hooker Cashin could
yeah.
be fun.
Hooker yeah. Cashin, then also Fairview-Tonkawa.
Fairview-Tonkawa.
Those yep. seem like pretty good matchups.
Yep.
Yeah, Hooker Cashin will be interesting. Conventional wisdom will tell you that Hooker may be stepping up to a class that they're not ready for with the defending champs. But you never know. The Bulldogs are undefeated until the last week of the season when they dropped a really close one at Fairview. So I got my eye on that one for sure.
Yep.
High school hoops as well. Right here on Paragon TV, Eric at Granite, Hammond at Calumet, Leedy at Forgan, Arnett at Cheyenne Raiden. Those games are actually at Raiden and not Cheyenne. Rapo Butler at Sentinel, and then Canute with some litmus tests on the road tonight against Hydro Weekly.
I got it.
Okay. Let's tell everybody what we're doing. So
all right.
Jared has actually done the mileage totals on the round trips that we've taken, including tonight. During the football season for Elk City. And that mileage comes up to what?
Round trip mileage that we have driven, 2,272 miles. This is from the doorstep of KECO right here in the middle of Elk City to our destination and back. 2,272 miles after tonight's game.
Okay. Where could we go?
So that we were talking about this last week. What does that equate to as far as driving mileage is concerned from KUCO? If we went one way trip, so we started going to the big cities. LA, no, 1,215 miles. New York is 1,565 miles. We had to venture out further. Seattle, 1,839 driving miles. So We reached into Canada, still couldn't find it. We even went up to Juneau, Alaska. That was too far. Nova Scotia is around 2,400 miles. That's close. I think I got our answer, Aaron. I think we got it. It's okay. Close, okay? It's off by about 100 miles or so, 150 miles. Cancun. Remember, we will have driven 2,272 miles. Cancun one-way driving to Cancun from KUCO is 2,107 miles.
So we could go even further.
We could go a little further, but I think I'd rather drive to Cancun.
We go to, like, Playa del Carmen? Is it further down?
I mean, we could add on. I mean, I'm sure. Well, that's not going to give us that. That's not that far.
Not far enough.
From Cancun. I just want to go to Cancun.
I'm going to Cancun.
I know you are. So there you go. That's how much we have driven to Cancun this season.
Hopefully.
It's a lot of miles.
Hopefully, with a win tonight, add on whatever the mileage will be next week.
Hopefully like 62.
That'll get us down to the Panama Canal at like 2,400 miles.
Oh, boy. I mean, what if Bristow wins and we win? Where are we going to be at? Probably the city.
Yeah, somewhere in the city.
Yeah. Anyways, we've driven a lot of miles. But that, you know, bring up a good point. That we're used to it, right? That means the football team's used to it. This is old hat to them. Just another road trip. So there we go.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There you go.
I think if anybody's prepared to make the longest trip in the state, it ought to be the Elks with the way that they've had to travel so far this year. College football this weekend. Speaking of traveling, Oklahoma State headed out to Lubbock. Trap game against the Red Raiders.
Nah.
Oklahoma State has been absolutely dominant over the past. Since the loss to Iowa State, they've just been hammering teams. Defensively, you could make the argument that they should have given up 9 points over the last three games. They've actually given up 23. That's it. But a bunch of those were in garbage time last week against TCU. A field goal to Kansas, a field goal to West Virginia, TCU had a field goal until, you know, 10 minutes left in the game in the fourth quarter. And Oklahoma State's starting defense was long gone after a 49-3 lead in the fourth quarter there against the Horned Frogs. But everyone's talked about the defense. Everyone knows about the defense. Everyone gets it. It's one of the best defenses in the country. There's no doubt about that with the way that they've been able to perform. But you know what I think is being overshadowed because of the dominance of that defense?
What's that?
Spencer Sanders' improvement. He's not – I know it's easy to say, you know, just go out there and don't do anything dumb. Don't turn it over. Let the defense play. Eventually, you know, run in the football. OSU's outrushed their opponents by over 1,000 yards this year. I know it's easy to point to those things and not give Sanders the credit that he deserves. But the truth of it is, I think he's performed better than just like a place filler and a game manager. Look at some of the throws he made, even in a loss to Iowa State. You know, hitting Tay Martin on a couple of the fades against West Virginia, just perfect throws. Now, Martin made great catches, but the ball was perfectly thrown. Then last week, you know, OSU's offense was unstoppable against TCU. They're going up and down the field every time, and in the same way against Kansas. I think that Sanders' performance has been a little bit overshadowed by the way that the defense has played.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think it's a trap game. I think if the defense falls into a lull or something like that, I think, you know, we talk about trust. It's kind of been the theme between Mike Gundy and Sanders all season long, is that trust has been building and building, and finally Sanders is turning into the quarterback that Gundy recruited and that he wanted him to be. I think if And that's the confident thing about OSU right now, is if, like I said, the defense, you know, doesn't show up or makes mistakes or whatever, I think there's that trust to have Sanders, you know, call those plays that typically in the past Sanders would screw up on. Let's be frank. They have the trust to let him bring his team back or to keep him in it, or, okay, if we got to go into a shootout, I trust our quarterback to do that. So that's why I don't really feel like it's a – I know, it's easy to say trap game before bedlam. Absolutely it is. You know, and Texas is always dangerous. They're dangerous, but the one thing OSU has going for them, they have Dave Hunziker and the full radio crew, and Texas Tech doesn't.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's all about the mojo right there. But, no, I back to my point. I you can trust Sanders more, and I know you like to call it that. Everyone does, but I just think OSU's going to go there. They're rolling. I think they're going to romp.
I also think it's pretty interesting that from a team standpoint, those guys like each other. You know what I'm saying? All we've heard all week is the problems in Norman after you lose a game. It doesn't feel like, there's the defense picking up the offense picking up the defense, all of that. You know, the chemistry aspect of what OSU's done this year has been really impressive. Gundy's alluded to it a few times. Like, I don't know if I've ever had a team that actually liked each other this much, as much as this one does. I mean, the question on the text line, if Sanders has three games Heisman, no. It's too far behind. The problem, I think this is a problem for that, is also what we're talking about. He's not getting any credit for these wins. At the end of the day, it's all about the defense, right? I mean, especially nationally. Anytime Oklahoma State's talked about, it's defense, defense, defense. And then unfairly or fairly, and probably a little bit of both, if we're being honest about it, Spencer Sanders has kind of created that storyline with his play in the past. And so, I don't see that happening at all. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to see him be the All-Big 12 quarterback.
I agree there.
Because that award is up in the air. Yes. There's definitely no guaranteed front runner for that. So if you see him put his stamp on these next three games, or if, I guess it'd be two, because that'd be announced before the Big 12 title game, right? But I feel like it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's definitely within his grasp of being able to be named the conference's first team quarterback.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? You know, this seems like so far away, so long ago. Isn't it funny how one play has completely changed two different teams' seasons and the perception of what those two teams are? You know what play I'm talking about?
Was it the fourth down touchdown run for Caleb Williams that totally sent Texas down the
I don't think that's the play that did it.
What are you talking about?
the pick six from Taylor the next week.
Okay.
Texas is up 17-3
true.
With 4 minutes to play in the first half. And they're going in for another one. It's about to be 24-3.
Right.
Think about the narratives that are destroyed.
That's true.
That we have now.
That's true.
But that's also why they're there. Taylor makes the pick six at 17-10, and all of a sudden Oklahoma State comes back, dominates that fourth quarter, beats Texas, and that really sends them into a complete tailspin, which they haven't recovered from. Five straight losses. They haven't done that since the 50s. And then, oh, by the way, Oklahoma State's defense is now the best one outside of Georgia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you watch that first half, Texas was having their way with that defense.
They were. They were. That's where I thought it was going to plateau for OSU when it became 17-3. And in my
fixing to be 24.
I mean, I was listening. I wasn't watching. I was out on vacation thing, but I was listening in my ear, and I heard that very play, and I thought, oh boy,
completely
Texas
flipped it on its head.
Implode again. Here we go.
That's what happened.
Exactly what happened. And not only did they implode in that game, that their season imploded. Yeah.
And it was like the play that just turned OSU around. Yeah. I mean, or maybe not around.
Some will go back to the OU game, but some will say, well, that was a neutral site game. That game is always crazy. You know, even that, you know, it's crazy, and they can almost say that's just that game. Now we're back home, being Texas. Now we're home. We're in Austin. We should be fine. We showed flashes of really good things in Dallas. We should handle this
and they
OSU,
were.
And they were.
And they were.
And then that pick happened.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy how it's changed both teams.
It really is.
From then. Oklahoma hosting Iowa State. I just, there's no way to have any idea what's going to happen in my mind outside of the numbers. And the numbers show that Matt Campbell has had Lincoln Riley's number as much as anybody in this conference. You know, we talked about Dave Aranda, and he's been kind of the Riley nemesis. So has Campbell. Mm-hmm. The only game that Iowa State hasn't covered the spread in since Campbell's been the head coach at Iowa State versus OU was the Big 12 title game last year, and they missed it by a half. OU won by six. It was a 5.5-point game. And it's weird. It's weird, too, because it feels like the Sooners have got off to really good starts in some of these games.
Against Iowa State.
Yeah, and then adjustments have happened, and Riley hasn't been able to figure them out on the fly. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
No clue. I'm with you. I have no idea. No idea. OU's a favorite. Conventional wisdom tells you that OU typically wins the last time, and it's probably right in front of my face, and I don't know. Has Riley lost back-to-back?
No.
Last year wasn't. They wasn't a back-to-back that one.
No.
In his 5-year coaching stint here, has he lost back to back?
Wait a minute.
I know it's the answer is obvious. My point is, okay, OU lost last week. They're at home. A lot of people will probably think, yeah, OU's not that great, but they don't typically lose a lot to back to backs. But that could change today or tomorrow. It's Iowa State. Iowa State, like you said, is almost Lincoln Riley kryptonite. Matt Campbell is. But the slow start thing, that's something to keep an eye on, because if OU can get rolling, they get that confidence back at home on senior day.
It was.
Was it last year?
Yeah, it was back-to-back.
They won the opener.
That's right, because the Texas was going to be – they could have been three in a row, and they won in overtime.
Correct. Yeah. Anyways.
I couldn't remember if Missouri State was first or second. But it was first.
That was the opener.
Yeah.
No, listen, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? You think you had this team figured out one way or the other, that being OU. They got the quarterback situation figured out. And, you know, they started off good against TCU and had to struggle a little bit but held on the win. And then my turnaround, I thought, okay, when they played Texas Tech the way they did, and it felt like they were in control for a good chunk of that game, that now that might have been the turning point. And then Baylor happened. So, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. The outcome one way or the other wouldn't shock me.
Here's an interesting omen. It's not a very good one if you're an OU fan. Just looking at the numbers for this game, 60% of the bets, so the tickets, 60% of those are on Oklahoma. 67% of the money bet is on Iowa State. So what that tells me is average Joe Schmo, Jared and Aaron walking up betting OU, sharps with the more money and the bigger bets betting Iowa State.
Yeah.
And I don't see why you wouldn't, honestly, if you were in Vegas, because that trend with Campbell's teams against Oklahoma. And here's the deal. I guess you could make the argument, well, they've never had Oklahoma's been hasn't been this short a favorite at only 4 points. That's probably true. But there's something about – I mean, everybody could see this being a three-point game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, easily seeing even Oklahoma winning, but by three.
Right.
Well, that covers if you bet Iowa State. So that's – those numbers aren't very good – I don't think a very good sign if you're looking at things from the OU perspective. You know, I could see anything, literally. Literally anything happening. Oklahoma finally putting it together. There's no really reason to say that other than they're due. But
yeah,
and or go the other way. It's a fascinating look into the psyche of Oklahoma's team. I think when they roll out tomorrow morning on Owen Field, you wouldn't think the fans would be in great mood. You know, it just feels like a sleepy game in Norman because I don't get the sense that the OU fans are ready to show up and really be loud and help the team because yeah. I think they're frustrated with the way the season's gone.
Yeah,
and so one little thing early. And you could see it kind of the backlash from the fans happening.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it doesn't bode well for what's all the rumors flying around with Riley and LSU and, you know, how much substance that has or not, whatever. You know, and then the way they performed against Baylor, if they come out flat this week, I mean, the fans can turn in a hurry. You know, it's incredibly frustrating to, you know, see that effort. 2 weeks in a row. If they see that effort 2 weeks in a row, it'd be ugly.
And you know good and well, everybody in the back of everybody in that stadium's mind, if that happens and it's a slow start, then in the back of their minds thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my God, what's happening next week? OSU's going to smoke us. And nobody wants to think about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Around the country, Michigan State at Ohio State is the headliner for sure. You know, we haven't talked much Heisman because it hasn't been a very interesting race. It doesn't really feel like anybody is won it.
Yeah,
it almost feels like somebody's going to have to win it by default.
Yeah, usually when it's not an interesting race, it's because there's a clear-cut favorite that's just pulled away from everybody. This year it's kind of like been a dud because you're like, well, you know, at one point it was Walker from Michigan State and it's kind of, well, you know, then they lose to, I mean, as soon as he kind of vaulted himself up into as the front runner, they lose to Purdue.
Yeah, not necessarily his fault, but they lost.
Right, right.
But that's where I'm going with this.
Well, it's the best player on the best team.
Well, no. Tomorrow Kenneth Walker can win the Heisman.
If he goes crazy
in a win against Ohio State, Kenneth Walker will win the Heisman.
With a Heisman-like moment.
That, yeah.
Like
just
a stiff arm
sure.
or a hurdle or something.
Honestly, I don't even know if they have to win the game. But be a really competitive, memorable game where he dominates. Listen, he had 22 carries, 136, I'm sorry, and a touchdown against Purdue. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, that's it wasn't his fault.
That's true.
You know, and so I think if he had like the 30 or 40, you see that with running backs sometimes that are up there, they have 30 yards, and all of a sudden, you know, that's what's always pointed to. You can't go back and point at that loss and go, well, he didn't perform. He had almost 150. And I think tomorrow, if he comes out and is able to really put his imprint on this game, I think he wins it tomorrow against Ohio State. I do think Ohio State's going to win. I think it's probably going to be a pretty good game, though. I think he may keep a minute. And so we'll see that one. Give Arkansas any chance at Bama?
I give Arkansas as much of a chance as Tennessee had a chance.
Well, Tennessee
against Georgia.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like a
first quarter and then
like
get blown out.
Like a nice team going up against a really good team. So I'll say what I said last week. No.
And Tennessee created some belief there on that first drive, the way they just shredded Georgia's defense.
Yeah, but again, went away quick. In back of mind, thought, man, that won't last.
It went away quick. Baylor at K-State.
Yeah, UConn had a great chance against Clemson.
Baylor at K-State, I think this is a tough one for the Bears.
Now, you talk about trap games.
And Kansas State's playing good.
Yes, they have. Yeah, what, four-game win streak? Yeah.
It's a hard one for Baylor to win, in my opinion. Coming off the win, everything on the line again all of a sudden. You know, we saw what happened down at TCU. When everything is on the line, folded. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Purple Kansas wins that game. And then Oregon at Utah. Upset?
Possible. I have more faith in that one than I do Arkansas at Alabama.
Oh, for sure.
At Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Utah. But tonight?
Tomorrow night.
It's not one of those...
No.
Friday night. No, they play their championship game on
Friday nights. That's right.
It is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
It's a possible.
The Utes. I watched that movie last night. The Utes have won three in a row. It's a second round playoff Friday. Elks headed to Grove. We'll be headed out here in about an hour. I'm trying to. It was the Beaver Moon.
That's what it's called.
Here it is. So last night, the Beaver Moon eclipse. It lasted 3 hours and 28 minutes.
Oh, it lasted that long?
It lasted 3 hours and 28 minutes. 3 and 28. Can you tell me what the significance is to a sporting event last night?
Did it happen the entirety of the football game, New England and Atlanta?
No.
I don't know.
Think about the numbers.
3 hours and 28.
Think about those two numbers and those two teams.
Atlanta was up 28-3
exactly.
in the Super Bowl, and they blew it.
Exactly right. That was pointed out multiple times. As Atlanta looked awful for the second straight week with New England winning 25-0. But, yeah.
Matt Ryan's done, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's
got
to be.
You know what he's got to be wishing? He's got to be wishing he could see the writing on the wall and went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because this is, it's pretty hard to watch.
It is.
Three quarterbacks threw a pick. It's been a while since that's happened. Yeah, like 2009.
Matty Ice has melted.
Yes, it's. Which is too bad because my fantasy team started to melt last night.
Oh.
You know, your day is going to go bad. When at the first of the game, Atlanta kicks a field goal. It's good. They get a penalty, mark him back five, and he misses. Young Hung Koo or whatever his name is.
Yep.
He's like, really? Matty Ice couldn't find my man Kyle Pitts. It was just a bad night overall.
Yep.
For the skinny Trumps. Going to have to come back from way behind.
Yeah, it's going to – I think it's back to the draft board for Atlanta. They got to find their guy.
Yeah, they'll be a prime candidate to draft a quarterback in the first round next year, for sure.
Yep.
Don't forget to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. You've got about, right now, 25 hours. Probably 24 hours and 30 minutes, if we're being honest. Just need to get those ahead of the 11 o'clock games. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property, Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, all the gang down there can fulfill all your real estate needs. Other games, Dallas at Kansas City, Indy at Buffalo. I think
we haven't even talked about that game. Man.
Too much high school, man.
Yep. It's going to be good. More important. That has to be the game of the week.
I think so.
As far as
– it's a little weak slate to me. Because I'm throwing in games that aren't as marquee as that. Indy at Buffalo. A sneaky one, Green Bay at Minnesota. I think Minnesota's way better than people realize. Their record's 4-5, and all those losses have been just excruciating losses. Cincy at Las Vegas. Yeah, I think for sure the headliner's Dallas and Kansas City.
Yeah.
See if the Chiefs' roll is for real on offense.
Talk about litmus test, right?
Yeah. I mean, that, for both sides.
For both sides, yeah. Did Kansas City, is it fixed in – well, shoot, is it fixed after the Denver debacle for Dallas? And you know, they bounced back nicely last week, but we know how bad Atlanta is now. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Did Dallas just beat the worst team? Is that all that happened?
Yeah. I mean, are they going to be in our bottom three next Monday or Tuesday?
Got a good chance of being mine. They're terrible.
They're bad.
2 weeks in a row, just awful.
Very bad. I wonder what the weather's going to be like. I mean, it's obviously cold this time of year in Kansas City, outdoor.
Pretty nice though over the weekend here.
I just
60s and 70s, I've so you figure maybe 40s and 50s?
Now, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. I've seen Thanksgiving forecast for like our friends in Grove where we're going. They're forecasting like 6 inches of snow a week from like today.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder about what's it going to be like in KC.
Go Chiefs from Dakota. Yeah, there'll probably be a decent amount of trash talk on that text group we've got. Sunday afternoon with Dakota's Chief Levin.
I might still be asleep considering how late we're going to get back tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 pregame, Elks and Grove, BigElkTV.com, Cool 94 for radio. We've also got a slew of high school basketball games. They all tip at 6:30, girls and boys doubleheaders on ParagonTV.com. So if you're not going to make the, I don't know, full day trip to Grove, no worries. We have you covered. Big Oak TV, Cool 94, 7 o'clock. Elks and Ridge Runners. And, hey, 15 minutes from right now, the team's leaving. So if you're on 3rd Street, go hang out.
Yeah.
Wave them off. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back to talk it all on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.